of those that have already been spoken, but we should all be here this morning to address to you our business, to bless the Lord, and to work with our God. In Christ, we should have pride in you, to remember the Son, to know the faith of Jesus, and the gospel, and to keep us in the grace to bless the fear of God.
Thank you.
joy that brings God has given to you. So, if you go with us this morning, as the case is 10 to 11, you can go through or any kind of Egyptian captivity, and lead us with Jethro out in the wilderness, most father-in-law. And Jethro begins to explain his happiness and the fact that he is thankful to God for what God has brought these people through up to this point. And as you read this known a few moments ago, you can see the idea of religion. So the sin and bondage of God has delivered them, verse 2, to deliver to the hands of the Egyptians. Blessed be the Lord, he has delivered you to the hands of the Egyptians. All in that passage, he has delivered the people from under the hands of the Egyptians. So over and over again, Jethro was reminded of what God has done for him and why he had done it. What are those 10 plagues in Egypt all about? Well, it's convincing Pharaoh to let God's people go so that they might be the free people that God intended for them to be. God never wanted them to remain in captivity. Their captivity served a purpose, but that purpose was over. They were now a great nation. God's intent with you was to live that great nation's status in a promised land. And so you have Jethro pointing out to them that they are a delivered people. And yet, this is a truth. On really three occasions, they're delivered. Israel's freedom was in danger and challenges turned from obstacles or from opportunities to obstacles. So it's chapter 14. Back in chapter 16, the children of Israel are leaving Egypt and the natural way to go is to get a little bit of space off of the northern part of Egypt. The God didn't do that. Instead, God sent them south. So they are going south, and there's a reason for that. That's what's important to them. Outside of the house, and they were free for long. But God sends them south, and in Egypt, who has been very happy about the fact that these people have left them, they see what is happening here. They see that the people are going south and into the south part of Egypt, into the wilderness area. And the conclusion is these people don't know what they're doing. These people are lost out of the wilderness. And so they will be anything cooking for us. So Pharaoh gets his army together and they pursue the Israelites. And the first time with horses and chariots and they want to take them near the shore of the Red Sea. Notice beginning verse 2. It says, when Pharaoh's leaders, children of Israel, lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched back to them. So they were very afraid, but the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, because they're in a way, the Egyptians have taken us away. Dying in the wilderness, why did you dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we must serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still, and salvation to the Lord if he will accomplish what he desires. But in this sense, we speak today, you will think you can no more forever. As the Lord will fight for you, you shall hold your peace. So the Israelites see this great army of the Egyptians coming. And their reaction to that is great pride. And the idea that here comes this army, and they're going to kill us. It would have been better to lie, slay, to the Egypt than to be killed out here in the wilderness. So that's coming up for us. Now, think about that for just a moment. They are afraid out of Egypt, where God had brought the most powerful nation in the world at that time to its knees. He turned it from Pharaoh to the Egyptians, and will never let these people go. The Pharaoh and the Egyptians begging these people to go. They're not very long after that. Now here comes the army of Pharaoh. And you will see that the people who have seen God do such marvelous things, they said, oh, here comes Pharaoh's army. This is what God did. This is what God deals with. God dealt with them. Let's see how our God, who loves us and who is more powerful than any army, what? Let's see how God deals with these. Himself, that this situation was faced with all of these acts. Oh, isn't it horrible what human God happened to us? What great opportunity they had to place their faith in God. And that they saw this great moment as the Egyptian
is an opportunity for you. You have financial crisis in your life. Think of it as an opportunity for God to bless you in your life. Because there's an opportunity for us, but there's also that opportunity for God. There's also that opportunity for us. You will not allow it beyond what you are able, but you have a temptation for all the things that are the same, but what that you may be able to do. This is the opportunity to do this. To go through that fight, to gather up under that fight, but as you are faith in God as a conduit, and you train them to be genuine, they saw. There's a journey to the promised land before the day. But the fact of the matter is, the wilderness is not the promised land. The promised land is part of the gift. I mean, the wilderness did not. Let me give you a series a little bit of that. Now, God can take care of them in the promised land, so I tell you, He can take care of His word as well. All they have to do is take the faith and trust in Him, and God will take care of them in the next world. So look here in chapter 16, you can read a verse here. It says, when they journeyed from the east, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of the east, which is between the east and the east. On 15 days, Jesus was departed from the land of Egypt. So they go out in the wilderness for a month. Verse 2, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained to the first step to the wilderness. And the children of Israel said, oh, that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. And we sat by the cross of meat, and no bread was full. And He brought us out into the wilderness to kill the soul of sin boy and of hunger. And so we got a little bit hungry up there in the wilderness. If not the meat every pot and the bread on every table and all that kind of stuff. There are some trials involved in going through this wilderness. But then, all I have to do is have God in two ways to handle challenges. One is, you can be talking to everybody. And the other is, you can talk to God. Peter's been talking to God about stuff, so I chose to complain to everybody else. It's complaining to themselves, maybe to me, to take care of themselves. Why have you ever entered into this? He can talk to God about this. Why have you ever entered into their mind? Because no one has accepted that. It's just nature to do that. And we have the same problem. The challenges come, the things get tough for us. The more out in the wilderness of life, it is not at all unusual for us to be confined to one another, basically to approach God. So that's what they have done. And notice how they described their existence in Egypt. They sat by the cross of meat, and they ate bread to the full. Why in the world did they ever ask God to bring them out of the wilderness? I don't know if their sins were so great in Egypt. Why were they crying about it? Why did they feel bitter about it? Why did they want God to bring them out of the land of Egypt, this place that all the peace, all the bread, and all the stuff? We're going to go to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Here they are talking the same kind of thing. They get a little more specific with it. See this? Numbers chapter 11, verse 4, now this multitude who are among them and build it to the peace place. So the children of Israel are walking in the desert. Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish that we ate freely. The fish that we ate freely. I got very serious when they were in Egypt that their prayers were something like this. Lord, we thank you for our freedom. We have all of this fish to eat for you. I doubt there was no one of them ever prayed that prayer to God who made them that. What are you doing? You're looking back. That's the past with rose-colored glasses. Rose-colored glasses mean you look back and you remember maybe a few good things about the past. We're going to take a little bit of a break. reflect yourself in your third writer in 2019. Remember, when it got the glory from them, to remember the good stuff that was going to be in here, and there even the few good things, and I just think it was there for me, that went out here to work. There is exaggerating both of them. Oh, when the ocean sticks, before you were going to eat just the cucumbers, and the melons, and the roots, and the onions, and the garlic, but now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except what you have. Thank you.
heart. This is the same thing you can do. You can turn and work it. You can say, that's your second one.
Thank you.